praise the Lord for that. It is good to see y'all today, this evening. I hope you've had a good day in the Lord. We're going to be in Genesis 16. Good to have visitors with us tonight. Thank y'all for coming out and being with us. Genesis 16. Genesis chapter 16 and verse number 1. We had a wonderful time at the nursing home today. A good crowd there. I think one lady that I brought, she didn't speak English, but I think I had made her a little bit troubled about bringing. She didn't know I was there, where I was going, what I was doing with her. But once we got there, she was glad that she came and enjoyed the singing. While she was there, and it's just a blessing to be around them, you know, to just be a friend to them as you spend time with them. It's obvious that many of them don't have family that visit, and so they really enjoy it, they really do. I tell you, before I forget, Brother Ethan, after church, would you mind getting somebody that's not in choir and bringing the red bows down out of the Christmas room for Sister Nelson? Maybe put them on that back row over there. She's going to come by Tuesday and fluff them up. So if you're in choir, don't get on that one. You come to choir. But if you're not in choir, get with Brother Ethan. That'd be a big help. There's only about 720 ribbons up here, so y'all should be in that choir. Genesis chapter 16, verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? Whither went thou, wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. Verse 10, And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, I have I also here looked after him that seeth me. Wherefore the well was called Beer Lehairah. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son. Abram called the son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old, and Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Just one chapter later, where Abram had come up with his own little plan to give, take child seed from the servant Eleazar, and it would be his heir. And God came to Abram in chapter 15 and said, Abram, that's not the plan. This is not what's going to happen. You're going to have a child, and out of your seed shall it be. And then we get to chapter 16. Now here is a real picture of a picture of real life. Amen. Abram's blundering, sinning, and his suffering. Because that's what it leads to. Abram's folly led to this here decision. He cannot blame Sarai. She came up with the plan, but he didn't have to hearken to her. He didn't have to listen to her. It's a sad mistake as we listen and read this story and we follow through it. Men, you are the head of your home. And you're going to give an account of what goes on in your home. Abram was the head of his home. And all he had to do was say, Sarai, you know, that's kind of akin to the plan that I had last chapter. And God wasn't for it. So I don't think he's going to be for this one. But when you keep pondering and you keep looking, and you keep trying to get your plan into focus and get your way at something, dear friend, sometimes you just keep the door in. Because after all, I can hear the reasoning in Abram's mind. Well, last chapter, God said it was going to be from my seed. So this may be it. It was never it. God had a plan for Abram and Sarai that they would bring forth a child, and that child would multiply. And so as we consider this thought and we look at this passage of Scripture, we need to be very careful that we understand where our responsibility lies. And Sarai was very aware of it in verse 5, but Sarai said there, and said unto Abram, my wrong is upon thee. Did y'all get that? She knew where this fault lied. She understood who was at fault here. Abram didn't have to give in to this, so be very careful as you, as the head of your home, as you deal with circumstances and situations, that you make good godly choices. Abraham's real sin here in this passage started with simple unbelief. Amen. He didn't believe God. It's almost like Adam, you know, back in the book, first chapter of Genesis, and Adam, you know, it was disobedience that led to the death of his son. You know, that's where it started. Amen. Here is simple unbelief that God is not going to do what God said he would do. And it led to a problem that has hounded Israel to this day. Isn't it amazing how the actual characteristics that God put toward this here a man, Ishmael, in verse 12. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. Every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brother. So there he's dwelling. He's in the midst. But he's a wild man. Kind of reminds you of the Palestinians today, doesn't it?
Amen.
Shooting rockets. Left and right, night and day, morning and evening, like wild men. And where are they dwelling? Amongst the brethren, amongst Israel. This is what Abram created. Abram through this. It's a sorrowful result, isn't it? Sarai thought she had a good plan. Made logical sense. We're old. It's not happening. Abram, here's my handmaid, this Egyptian. It seems to me that this Egyptian lady, Hagar, had some dealings with the Lord. Seemed like she had some sort of relationship with the Lord. I don't know about you, but she went out into the wilderness. And who showed up out there? It was the Lord. It was the Lord that showed up out there. And listen to verse number 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. Thou God seest me, for she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Seems to me in that passage of Scripture that she had some sort of relationship with God. Some sort of understanding. Now Sarai is feeling trampled by her handmaid. It was her plan. It wasn't the handmaid's plan. I can imagine if the handmaid would have showed up there at the beginning and said, hey, Sarai, I've served y'all since you got out of Egypt, and I know y'all been waiting for a child. Why don't I just take care of this business for you? I think Sarai would have probably had her lashed or put out of the camp because that's the result here. This is Sarai's plan. This is something that she concocted in her head. This is what she came up with. And then whenever it happened and she conceived and was with child, Sarai all of a sudden realized that Hagar, well, she might be a little bit more important now. She's carrying the child of Abram. And then that's when she shows up. It's a very difficult thing. You know when the green-eyed monster of jealousy gets at you? You can be pretty mean and hateful, can't you? Yeah. I mean, you can really lash out at people because of your own jealousy. Verse 4, and he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. That's the direct consequent and results of sin. If you not see God's not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sow to the flesh shall reap corruption. And this is what's happening here. A direct result of what is happening is because of the unbelief in Abraham, when Abraham could have said, oh, let's put the brakes on this plan real quick. God's done dealt with this issue several times now. We're not going to face it again. We're going to go ahead and go through it the way God wants us to go through it. But Abraham gave in. Says he hearkened to the voice of Sarah. It kind of reminds me of Adam and Eve when the serpent's there in his subtle ways dealing with the fruit of the tree. And as she began to take of it, and the Bible says like this, and she gave to her husband also. And he did protect.
Amen.
In other words, he did hearken. We see where that got him, don't we? God got us all in a bunch of big trouble. The whole world. And now this here's the result. So the ripple effect of sin is seen here from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 16. And sometimes we think the ripple effect is just right here close by. Not always. Not always. In the case of Adam, the entire mankind is sin. In the case of Abram, right here in this choice that he's made, it has caused a racket of wars and rumors of wars and fighting for years and years and years now. That ripple effect is something there. Listen, God had promised Abram a seed. But because of unbelief, he got himself in this. Now, this is the lesson. Faith believes God. Hope waits in anticipation. And patience quietly sits and hears and waits until the answer arrives. This is where we got to get. Faith believes it. Hope anticipates it. Patience waits. And God doesn't always answer in our timing. It's not always when we think it should be. It's not always, you know, in our timeline. What a result. Now Sarai's lashed out at the woman who followed through with her plan. It's amazing when the Lord showed up on the scene, he said to Hagar, return and submit yourself back unto your mistress. Wow. Hagar wasn't innocent in this, but I'm not saying she was. She could have protested it altogether, you know, and said, no, I don't think this is a good idea. I think she saw a way of getting maybe an upper hand here in the situation. The hand of the Lord came and showed up there and said, humble yourselves. Listen, when we've done wrong, there's just one thing to do to get it right. Humble yourself and go get it right. Humble yourself and go get it right. Confess our wrong before God. Confess your wrong before those that you're wrong. And with every fortitude within your body, in your heart, your mind, commit and covenant between yourself and the power of God that I ain't going to do that no more. You've got to make a covenant with you. You've got to say, it's not going to happen. And don't use the excuse that, well, I'm flesh and, you know, I'm going to make mistakes. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But when you've done wrong, you've got to get it right. And this is what God said to her. He said, I know you've been afflicted. I know that Sarai has dealt harshly with you. But return and humble yourselves under your mistress. And I know you're a child. And I'm going to multiply your child. You see the hand of God even blessing in this? In the wrong? I'm so thankful that we have a God that when He looks down at our life and looks down at the mistakes that we've made, and as He pardons us and we humble ourselves under His mighty hand, and He exalts us, and He still is willing to use us. And God intervened there. Isn't it amazing that God's interested in human troubles? It seems like this little petty fight between two women. But God's interested in this. God shows up on the scene. He's interested in human life. He's interested in how things are going on in your life. And we never get too far that God can't find us. Where'd God find us? Way out in the wilderness. That's how we end up. Way out in the wilderness. You know, when you realize that you've wronged and you've messed up, dear friend, there's nothing wrong with putting the brakes on and making a U-turn right away. Amen. You don't have to end up out in the wilderness. But I am thankful for a God that's even willing to come out to the wilderness to find us. God calls Hagar and says, listen, return, submit. Get things right. He assures her with a blessing of her own. Of multiplying and giving her a great seed and a lineage that would be great in its own right. So in verse 13, as he called for her to submit, she said, okay. She called on the name of the Lord. She spake unto her, thou God seest me, for she said, have I also looked after him that seeth me. And the child was born. There's a continuation of the old flesh and nature in the child of God.
Amen.
And this is a picture of that. Ishmael. And who is that new man? Who is the rightful heir of Abram? Isaac. And when you look at him, and you begin to look at him, that man of flesh is still alive. And that picture of Isaac, that man of God, he's alive also. And when you've been born again, and you're a child of God, the Spirit of God lives inside of you, dear friend. And I'm going to tell you, to live as a man of God or a woman of God, you have to put to death the flesh daily. Because Ishmael lives on. And that's what we're seeing here. This allegory, when we get to studying it, and over in the New Testament, it's even talked about how it's a picture. So don't ever think because, I've been saved 30 years now, the old man is dead subdued. Ishmael lives on, even to this day. Your Ishmael lives on. Your Isaac, that new man, he's alive and well, but it's the one you strengthen that succeeds. The one that you feed, Ishmael or Isaac, the new man, or the old man. Get my boxers here mixed up. Which one are you going to feed? You and I made choices like this. It may not have been as far-reaching, as effective as Ishmael and Hagar and all this, but we've made some choices. Those choices live on. You don't have to keep living in that choice. You can back it up and say, hey, I want to do right. No one is exempt from temptation and weakness. I know I told you one chapter before, he dealt with his own problems. One chapter later, he gave in to the weakness, didn't he? We're not exempt. You got to stay alert. That's what the Bible says. You got to walk circumspectly. That means aware. Pay attention. Because we're all weak in this flesh. If Abram, godly man Abram, can make such mistakes. Up to this point, how many mistakes has Abram made? How many remembers? Up to this point in the life of Abram, we've studied a couple of them. Two of them right now, Miss Sue? Not sure. How many? This one's one, so we got Aunt Dora one's answered. Two? Isn't it amazing that God would use a real man? He's not using some supernatural human that could not fall. He's using a man that is flesh and bone, that makes mistakes. At the end of it, God said, he's my friend. Now, you've made mistakes, but you don't have to live in those mistakes. Let those mistakes be detours and not dead ends.
Amen.
Too often, we run into a mistake and it's a dead end. We just completely done away with it. You know, the Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion. This is what it says. Seeking only to devour good song leaders. What does it say? Whomever. He wants to devour you. As Jesus told Peter, I've prayed for you, but the devil wants to sift you as wheat.
Amen.
He wants to sift you, dear friend. Listen, it's at hand, and we have to be careful that way. We make good choices and good decisions, not spur of the moment. In other words, I'm going to tell you, dear friend, it's better that you decide beforehand. Before the temptation arrives. I'm not here to, listen, I'm going to work this out and I'm going to make choices now before I'm in the midst of it. I tell you this, here's a good example. Publix, wonderful store. Greet you, check you out, walk your bags out if you let them, and don't want a tip. Just wonderful. As good as Publix is, I guarantee you this, the CEO of Publix would like you to come in there after a 3-day fast to get a gallon of milk. Why? Brother Jim, you think you're going to walk out there with just a gallon of milk? Brother Jim might. Brother Jim told me one time he'd drive 5 miles out of his way to save a nickel on gas. Why would they rather you come in there starving and hungry? They know you're going to buy more. They know it. That's why they put those delis in there. Because in your mind, I'll get me a meal at Publix and shop. And they know. You're eating your chicken tender, dipping it in your sauce. Oh, look at there, eggnog. Woo. Man, this chicken nugget's good. Wow, look at here. They got this here watermelon. This time of the year, they got watermelon over there. It's only $5.79. Look, let's get it. Bang, there it goes. Before you know it, you went in for milk, and you come out with a basket full of stuff you really didn't need. Didn't want, because when you got home, you opened up your cupboard and said, well, I had an eggnog already. Well, I better go ahead and finish this one now, so that one don't go bad. You know what the devil does to you? He tempts you when you're weak. When did he come to the Lord? Matthew chapter 4, when did he come to the Lord? After 40 days of fasting and buffeting the body, the devil showed up. If he showed up to the Lord in his weak hour, when is he coming to you and I in our weak hour? The necessity of waiting on God. You know, it's an amazing thing when you have a union of faith and patience. When that union's together, faith in God and a know-how to wait on God. Well, I'll tell you, some great things can be accomplished when those two meet each other. That's near about as good as mercy and grace meeting each other in our lives. The birth of Ishmael didn't have to be. But it was. And there's not a dead end right here in Abram's life. Matter of fact, in a few chapters, Abram's going to get some ham added to his life. They're going to call it Abraham. That's the blessing of God. So you tell me ham is bad. When God adds ham to a man's life. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask you, God, to bless as we go our way. Thank you for the studies that we have for the book of Genesis. Lord, I know it's a long book, but it's your word. And so much we can learn. I pray, God, you bless our church as they spend this week in Thanksgiving. May we have an attitude of gratitude. And be thankful for who we are, where we are, and what you blessed us with. That is biblical contentment. And biblical contentment is right next to godliness. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.